Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An absolute beatdown yesterday, Pete, from the Gopher football team is where we begin today. They take it to Maryland relatively easily, to be completely honest with you. How was the game? You were there. What'd you think?
I thought the Gophers probably played their best game of the year so far.
Yeah.
I think we absolutely dominated. Now, the interesting thing, though, Dave, was this. If you just looked up at the scoreboard during the game and didn't see the actual score, but you saw the stats, you'd look at those and you'd say, you know what? This is a really close game. I mean, look at this, the running game, the passing game, and all the rest of it. That was not at all what the game was about at all. And the game really was about just the dominance that the Golden Gophers had. I thought it was by far the best I've ever seen Max Brosmer throw the football. I mean, he was confident. He had everything going for him. The offensive line, that offensive line kept him in the pockets in such a nice way. They just had a hard time getting in there. Maryland did not look. I stood on the sidelines like I like to do just to see what's going on. I got to tell you, Dave, I look over at that team and I thought to myself before the game even started, I said, we got these guys. They just don't look like they had the same talent level of the Golden Gophers. I mean, we just looked the part. And I think a lot of that is the swagger. Me and a lot of the old alumni of football were there at the game and watching the guys come out there. They were confident. They're big. They're strong. They're fast. And I walked away from the game more excited than I've ever been with a quarterback. And I think Max Brosmer, the way he threw the ball, it's at a different level than any quarterback I've seen in 25 or 30 years.
Well, what I took away from the game yesterday, and I should say I apologize because my voice is not here. I'm playing hurt a little bit, although I feel fine. My voice sounds awful, but we're still in it. It was not from screaming for the Gopher game yesterday, I can assure you, battling allergies. But when I looked at the total yesterday, I was listening to PJ post-game, and he talked about the game plan and how his running backs, you know, how selfless they are to say, you know what, this just isn't our game. Because Max Brosmer went for 320 yards, and I think that was clearly what they were going to do going in, right? They were going to pass the ball. And to me, this is the game that the Gophers would trip on before this because they don't have a quarterback who can dominate play. I don't remember the last time they won and had so few yards on the ground. And I look back, and I don't think they have this year. In every single win, they've gone at least 130 yards rushing or more. So they go for 123 yesterday, and this is the game, though. This is what you're right. This is what Max Brosmer gives you. Mm-hmm. He gives you the ability to change your game plan and to do things differently so that you can win a game that you might have had more trouble with. They could not stop the pass yesterday. And Maryland's front is decent enough that they were able to shut down that run. But you're right. Brosmer had a day, and a lot of that came from the wide receivers, too. I mean, they were outstanding. Mm-hmm. But some of those throws, and I don't remember, it was their second touchdown, I think, that went to – was that Spencer? Where I watched it. I watched the pass, and I went, oh, Brosmer overthrew him. It's done. Somehow – he threw it to the perfect spot where only Spencer could get it. Mm-hmm. And I was so impressed with that throw. And I thought to myself, we have not had a thrower like this, a quarterback like this, mm-hmm. in a time that I can remember covering the Gopher football team, Pete.
You're 100% right. And I think that my takeaway was, why are we up 24-0? It's because the Gophers realized fairly early they're going to stack the box. They basically said, we're going to show you that we can stop the run. We're going to see what we can do against Darius Taylor, who's been a great running back this year and has just unbelievable numbers when you really look at it. But they just committed to stopping the run. What I like about the Golden Gophers was they made a decision. We're going to throw the ball. If you're going to stack everybody up there, we're going to throw the ball. And that's exactly what we did. And they did not go away from that until they started getting a little bit of some of those guys getting back into the secondary a little bit. But it was too late. We were already up 24-0. We're only starting the second quarter. And we absolutely are dominating them. And I look at Daniel Jackson. He had 117 yards. You had Spencer with 99 yards. Both of them had two touchdowns each. You look around, and then they also, hey, by the way, the thing I always bring up, they threw to the tight end.
Tight end.
Gallerup and Gears both had catches. They both looked great, and they had that seam route that we dropped out at UCLA on the very first play of the game on the offense. This time they throw the seam route, and we catch it. And you just we were just clicking yesterday. I think it was – and Coy Parrish, I'll tell you what, in person, up front, standing right next to that kid – he is so special, Dave. He is. Everybody keeps saying, well, can we hold on to him? My answer would be, I don't know why we wouldn't be able to hold on to him. Because is he at Minnesota right now because of NIL? I'm going to say absolutely not. Because if it was NIL, he'd be at Ohio State right now. Or one of the other billion schools that were recruiting this kid for all the right reasons. He is an absolute machine. His speed is incredible. And he is something special that I don't know. I just talked about Brosmer. I don't know if I've seen anybody in our secondary that plays the way he does. Now, I know we've had some greats, and we've had some recent great safeties. He's right up there with those guys. He doesn't have the same resume yet, but what he looks like as a freshman, I would say he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be in the NFL someday at a very high level.
Well, we have a small sample size on both of these guys, unfortunately, or fortunately. We're going to see a lot more of Coy Parrish. We're not going to see a lot more of Max Brosmer. He's got the one year. But to me, Pete, and I'm curious your take as well as our listeners, complete the sentence for me. Max Brosmer is the best Gopher quarterback since blank.
I don't even know who I would I don't know who I'd bring up, Dave.
I know it's only a part of a season. I know it's only been, six games?
Right.
But best one since when?
I give credit, by the way, to PJ because we know who PJ is, right?
Yeah.
He wants to run the football. That's who he is.
Does he, though? Or because we've – and that's what my other question is. We've spent so much time, and everybody has, saying PJ's too much a kind of just – stuck to the run, but maybe he just was smart enough to know that I didn't have that quarterback, and now that I do. So what's the difference? Is it the quarterback, or is his coaching style that's changed?
Well, I think he at least adjusted, let's say that, because I think he does want to run the football, and I think that's where he starts, and that's what we've had. You mentioned the fact that we haven't had quarterbacks that look anything like him. I agree with you. I can't even think going back who I think looks – well, we haven't had how many quarterbacks have we even had, Dave, that have actually gotten to the NFL? I look at this kid, big and strong. He's got the arm for the NFL. The speed in which that ball is coming off his hands and the way he's getting it downfield and placing it and giving the receivers the opportunity to catch balls that might be kind of a jump ball sort of a thing, he has all the confidence in the world, and that's what you want in a quarterback like him. By the way, We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Justin Wally, who might be one of the best secondary guys that the Gophers have had in a long time as well, and another pick six. This guy is unbelievable. He's got athleticism along with Parrish. And a lot of people are looking at these last four games. What's going to happen in the last four games for the Golden Gophers? I'll tell you what, I don't think any of those teams – we could come up against Penn State and find ourselves into a heck of a ball game going into the fourth quarter with Penn State, I think. And that's the best team that's left that we're going to be playing.
This is a very, very tough stretch for the Gophers now going on. As they come through the last couple games of the season here, it is Illinois at home, on the road, Rutgers on the road, Penn State at home, Wisconsin on the road. Three very, very difficult games and may actually answer our question for us, Pete, who the best gopher, you know, best quarterback since when for Max Brosmer. By the way, I give you the number, 651-461-9226. It's the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. We're talking Max Brosmer, we're talking Gophers. Max Brosmer might be the best quarterback since, I'll go back to, is it Asad Abdul-Khalik? I mean, is that as far? I mean, Adam Weber's on the list. Brian Cupido's on the list, but none of those guys took over a game, I don't think, like Brosmer did, Josh.
Adam Weber.
Hey, look, I like Adam Weber
I loved
a lot.
Love him.
I like some of these other quarterbacks that you're bringing up, Dave. I'm not kidding when I say I don't know how far back I've got to go to find an absolute quarterback, a passing quarterback like Brosmer. Yep. I've not seen an arm that looks like the arm that he had yesterday. I think the guy is special. And, Dave, how about this? Let's go back in time just a little bit. North Carolina game, right? We miss a field goal that we would just basically say is almost 100% shot that we're going to get that. But unfortunately, it's not 100%, and we miss it. If we win that game, and then we also have the Michigan game, and they do the right thing, they go back, they review it, and say, you know what? We were wrong. We got to pick up that flag, and the Gophers have the ball on the 35-yard line of Michigan, who's a down Michigan this year. Just think about that. We're 5-3 right now. What if the right things would have happened and
7-1
yeah. So
and we've said that the whole time. I just this is not a 5-3 team to us.
And the only thing that scares me about Illinois is the coach, because he has our number. He's 10-0 against the Gophers. He's done a great job when he was at Wisconsin. He's done an even better job at Illinois, which I think is a tough school to recruit to. But they've gotten themselves into a spot as well. I mean, they got crushed by Oregon, absolutely crushed by Oregon, 38-9. So that's a good quarterback, though, but he did not play well against Oregon.
Great text into the stylesfinancial.com talking text line. He's the best Gopher quarterback since Adam Weber, which statistically Weber is one of, if not the – he is the best. He leads in many categories. But he says here, and I agree with this, what he did under ever-changing coordinators was impressive, and he doesn't get enough credit. I've talked about that. We've talked about that before. In fact, we had Adam Weber on the show to talk about it before, Pete. That is something that he doesn't get enough credit for, because he was a talented, he was undersized, loved he was him. Under, you know. But what he did as he moved from coach to coach, because I think he had Brewster, he had whoever, I forget who took over after Brew. But then he had Jerry Kill, I believe, as well, didn't he?
Yeah. So I love Adam Weber. He's a great person. He caught crap from people once in a while as well, which I never really liked that kind of criticism, especially a young man at the college level. I don't think you need to do something like that.
Correct.
But I got to tell you, I don't even think that that's comparable. I really don't. When I watch the way the ball comes off of his hands, and I know I've said that time and time again here, but it's special. And he's got size. He's got really nice size for a quarterback. He's the kind of guy I think that actually could be a Sunday guy. Now, is he a starter in the NFL? No. But I think he's a guy who could maybe build himself into that. And the players love him. He does all the right things to make sure the offensive line and the receivers and the running backs are happy. He's done a lot of different things in the offseason with them. He's a special guy. And it's not just on the football field. It's off the football field as well. So he's got all the character that you'd want for a quarterback.
He hasn't. I agree with you as much as my allegiance to Adam Weber, just because I am impressed with what he did under so many coordinators.
Yeah.
He did actually go to he was with Tampa Bay, I think, for a little while in the NFL, but not for very long. I think he was just a practice squad guy. But there's an intangible there, I think, is what you're saying, and I agree with. That Matt Brosmer just looks different. He looks more comfortable in the pocket. He has more time in the pocket. He has more command over the offense, I think. And I don't know a game where, since maybe Adam Weber, then we've had a quarterback just completely take it over like he did yesterday. And that's exactly what happened. That was the game plan, and he did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we put up 450 yards, Dave, so I think we did all the right things that we needed to do in that game. That was impressive.
Maryland did not look very challenged. I mean, I thought they were okay at the end of the game, but I wasn't very impressed with them at all.
No, their quarterback at times looked great. But then there were the times with the interceptions and stuff that he was trying to force the ball, which is what happens when you find yourself behind pretty quickly. You're down 21-0 in the first quarter.
Sure.
That's a problem. You've got to start throwing the ball, and we know you've got to start throwing the ball so we can do things to kind of play with your mind. I think that you got to give a lot of credit to our defensive coordinator as well.
The only thing that would have made it better for me is if we saw Coy Parrish on offense. I'm going to say that every game now for the rest of the year. I want to see that kid at a wide receiver slot just once. Because you're right. He's fun to watch, man.
He should be on the field. He could be a Travis Hunter. He really could, right? I mean, and this guy's up for the Heisman at Colorado for all the right reasons because he plays about 80 snaps a game. Let's let Coy just be on defense right now as a freshman, though. We don't need to spread him out to the offense. We got good receivers already.
Colorado, by the way, who is bowl eligible now. So Deion Sanders probably going to look for that new contract soon. I will tell our listening audience that I missed out on the opportunity of a lifetime yesterday, and I hate the fact that I did. I got a text from Pete during the day, or a call, and I missed it. I could have been on the sidelines for the Pete Najarian experience. It'll be the biggest regret of my week so far. Next time, I promise I'll answer the phone if I can get to it. I'm sorry, Pete. I missed out on the opportunity.
I would have loved to have you there because I'm standing there talking to a lot of the folks from Maryland and, a matter of fact, quite a few different guys and some of the more famous players who played there. And we had a great time chatting and just talking about this guy and that guy. And but again, my eye test, and you would have been able to stand right there with me. The eye test told me we're going to beat these guys. I mean, before the game even started, before the ball was kicked, I looked at him and said, "You know what? They don't have a shot. They don't have.
That's awesome.
They don't have the confidence. They don't have it."
I have more questions about Gopher football alumni after listening to PJ Fleck's interview yesterday that I'll throw at you later on in the hour. But coming up next, the Wild and the Vikings both are off to starts, at least that I think most people did not predict. So which one is more unbelievable to you at this point? We'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. Short segment here at the bottom of the hour before we get up to fast break next. Pete, you mentioned being on the sideline yesterday with a number of alumni who walked out with the team. And I heard an interview with PJ Fleck after the game, and he talked about one thing that he's very proud of for him and as a coaching staff is what that staff has done for the alumni base in bringing them in more and having more of an attachment to the program. Is that something that you feel? Is there a greater attachment to the program through the alumni base in the time that he's been here?
Absolutely. I think it's an absolute. The way he has reached out to try to become part of this community here, I think it's why every time his name comes up for other jobs, I just wonder, does he really want some of these other jobs around the country that his name is at least dropped out there, whether or not that's real or not? You never know. But I think he's done a magnificent job of going out and trying to reach out to the alumni, get them to be a part of it, and the excitement. And I can tell you yesterday, we had age range probably from, I don't know, 30 years old up to maybe almost 70 years old.
Wow.
So it was quite a few guys. It was far more guys than I ever would have expected. By the way, Dave, I wanted to go back real quick, if we could, to this quarterback thing where we were talking about Adam Weber or who would be the best one. And this goes all the way back to Tony Dungy. You know, we're going back to my era of Hohensee. And I'll tell you this. Now, they all were at the University of Minnesota for multiple years. And Brosmer's got a very small sample set right now. Yeah. But I will tell you this. Not a single quarterback, Adam Weber, any of these guys have over, and Adam's got the best, completion percentage, which is 57%. And then you look at the touchdowns to interceptions, most of them are pretty substantially close with their touchdown interceptions. And then I go over and I look over at Max Brosmer so far this year. He's nearly 70% on his passing. He's 69.5. And 12 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So I think when we're talking about this, that's why I say I don't think it's close. And now when you look at the numbers, if you just use the numbers, it's not close. It's not close at all. He is really playing at an elite level, to quote something the coach would say. But but he's got the receivers and he knows it. He can trust Daniel Jackson. It's why he gets the ball, 9 or 10 times targets every single game, it seems like, because he knows he can trust him. He knows he can trust Spencer. He loves the tight ends. He knows how to get the ball to them. And for all the guys out there that were were giving me a lot of flack about me saying, you know what, so there's potential to win eight games this year. I think that potential is right in front of us right now.
There it is. Well, and let's be honest. I'll say it again, even though it doesn't matter. There should be seven wins right now, at least six. I'll say that because I do believe that I'm going to say seven. I think they both should have been. I think with the momentum, the way it's been going, they would have won at Michigan late, and a different change with that field goal probably would have made a bigger one as well. But this is a tough stretch coming up, and I can see a world where it's three wins, and I can see a world where it's not three wins.
Yeah. I think each one of those games that we've got left, they're a bit of a coin flip because you have to go on the road. You've got which is not easy. You got to go to Illinois, who's got a really hot quarterback who's done a great job of throwing the football out there and all the rest of it. I mean, some of these are interesting. I think Rutgers, if there's one where I look to it and I say there's a game that we absolutely should win, I'd say that one. But I'll tell you, Penn State, they have not been that overwhelming Penn State team that we're used to seeing. Yeah, they're undefeated. I get it. So a lot of people will give me flack about that, but I think they're beatable. Wisconsin was going head-to-head with them, and they had a pretty good start until they didn't. So it makes it interesting for sure.
I'm excited to see what happens next Saturday. That this might be, I think this was the game, other than maybe Rutgers, that I circled, and the better Max Brosmer gets, the more I want to see what Indiana is going to try. But I think, and we've talked about this already, and I know we're up against it here, but what really encourages me the most is that the more tape people get on Max Brosmer, you would think that because he's new, right, that if he wasn't good enough, people would be able to start to figure him out. They're not. He's having a better game every single week that he plays.
Yep.
And so it'd be interesting to see what Brett Bielema will try to draw up against him next Saturday.
And that's the one thing that scares me is Bielema. Of all the other coaches out there, whether it's Wisconsin and Penn State, Rutgers, whatever, I think Bielema, because of the fact that he's had our number. So until we can break that down and get a victory, he still has the number for the Gophers.
Well, if Brosmer beats him, just put his jersey up into the rafters.
Let's
do
it. Yep.
Just raise it. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back, do the fast break. You listen to The Huddle on 830 WCCO.
Oh, yeah. Fast breaks, baby. Yeah. Let's go. Let's do this.
Let's go.
Yeah. By the way, you guys have both been to L.A., correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Well, Pete, you have a private jet.
I don't.
Okay. I'm going to list off a few events, okay, leading into this first fast break. So you ready? L.A. Dodgers hosted the New York Yankees game one at 5 p.m. on Friday.
Yeah.
The Lakers hosted the Phoenix Suns at 7 p.m. USC played Rutgers at the L.A. Memorial Coliseum at 8. SoFi Stadium hosted their annual East L.A. Classic between two major high school football squads. And David Gilmour was at the brand new Intuit Dome, and ELO was at the Kia Forum at 7:30. Dave, we'll start with you. Is L.A. the worst sports and entertainment city when it comes to traffic?
Wait. Who's David Gilmour?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
Come on.
Seriously. Am I old or am I young? Which
is it?
Isn't
he the corner for the Vikings?
Oh, my gosh.
No, wait a minute. That's
Pink Floyd, guys. Pink Floyd.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
oh,
okay. Yes.
What was the question?
Is L.A. the worst sports / entertainment traffic city in the country?
I haven't been to L.A. for work. I have been to New York for work, and I would say New York is worse. But, I mean, I've been to L.A. The traffic is awful, and I have friends who live out there who basically say, don't even bother with a GPS because traffic just changes it. It'll take you a half hour to go a mile. So I'll say it's not the worst. I would say New York is, although Chicago is pretty bad too. I'll go with New York, but I can't imagine – I just wonder how do you get anywhere quickly in that town?
Dave, you know, I lived in Chicago. I lived in New York, and I've spent a lot of time kind of halfway lived in Los Angeles. They're the worst.
Are they?
Los Angeles is terrible. And when you read off all those sports events at once,
yeah,
the possibilities of that don't exist even in Chicago. Or I mean, there, obviously there's some baseball stadiums and so forth nearby, and you've got Soldier Field, but it just wouldn't happen like that. It's I can't even imagine trying to get to any of those stadiums.
There was people talking about how they paid $70-$80 for parking, but they said, what's the point of paying that when you can't get to the venue on time?
Can't get there.
You're already parked on the one or the.
The media did label it Carmageddon, so that is.
I'm really interested to see how they do the Olympics there coming up, because I know it's going to be, they're going to basically shut down traffic around the venue, so and you can only get to a certain road to get into the venues if you have a pass. But I mean, it's just going to be a gong show.
Oh, it's going to be terrible. But I tell you one thing, guys, if you've not ever been, SoFi Stadium, holy smokes. Now, that is an unbelievable place.
It looks almost like U.S. Bank Stadium as far as being, trapped in a can of sardines when it comes to the heat. Because that's nothing but plastic on the top, so it just radiates.
But you can
heat
open the doors.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Anyways, Pete, we'll go to you for this one. At long last, the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, has elevated Dalvin Cook from the practice squad and will make his season debut against the 49ers. The four-time Pro Bowler definitely has seen better days since leaving the Vikings. Underutilized in the Jet system and played one playoff game with the Ravens last year. How do you see the return of Dalvin Cook playing into the Cowboys system?
You guys know that I love Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. I think the world of him. I think he's one of the better running backs in all the NFL, and now he's getting a little bit older, obviously. So, that breaks down faster than anything for any position, I think, is running back. So it makes it that much more difficult. That all being said, I think Dalvin still has it. I think he's got that charisma. He's got that ability. And I think he wants to prove something. And the 49ers defense isn't what they've been in the past. So because of that, I think Dalvin Cook could have a pretty big day.
Dave.
I don't.
Oh, come on, Dave.
I want you to have, I know how much you love Dalvin Cook, but I saw nothing in the last year or two that really impressed me from him. They're also not a particularly amazing rushing team.
No.
And I don't know if that's because of the line or if it's because of just bad running backs, but I mean, they have not been particularly good rushing the ball this year. I think, at least over the past couple games, they're averaging, just a couple of yards per carry, nothing big. So I think it's not as much about him as it is about the fact that he's just going to have a real tough time running in an offense that's not very good at rushing the football.
All right. Well, we'll talk about this a little bit more as well, but it took a 7-game point streak to end the Wilds' historic run here in the first stretch, now 5-1-2 on the season, Dave. I, like many probably on Twitter, coined it not weird, wild as far as their game yesterday, because it was a weird one. Lost in the mix are the defensive mishaps of the game, and Gus Bus just having an off night at 5-1-2. Are the Minnesota Wild, Dave, making you a believer early?
They are for me. I was looking this up before the show today. I think most people expected them to not even make the postseason. And again, like, we're really, really early in the season. However, they've played some and won against some really good teams. They beat the defending Stanley Cup champions handily with Bobrovsky in net. They beat Tampa. And they're playing this, basically they've had two home games and the entire rest of the month has been on the road, which is probably the other reason why they kind of had a slow start. I mean, this is just road game after road game after road game. They've been gone since the beginning of the month. So it's still too early for me to tell how good this team is going to be and whether, they're going to be a playoff team or not. But considering the fact that they had injuries to Jared Spurgeon and Joel Eriksson Ek as well during that stretch, I think that it really bodes well for the way the team started the season.
I think what impresses me both guys right now when I'm looking at this is Kaprizov's looked great, Boldy's looked great, Zuccarello's looked great, Rossi's looked great.
Yeah.
When you've got that going, that kind of mojo, it gives you an opportunity to have the kind of record that they've got right now. Can they do it for the whole season? They got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And the guy I love, Jake Middleton, the fact that that guy as a defensive man is actually doing things on the offensive side, that's pretty impressive.
Dave, I don't know if you mentioned this already in your point, but I did see Russo's tweet yesterday. I thought it was maybe a typo. Is it true we've only had like 3 or 4 penalties all season?
If Russo says it, it's true.
Well, it's true.
I mean,
that's
he
true.
Knows.
There hasn't, I know better than
it's a,
second
it's a great way to not have to worry about your penalty kill.
Yeah.
You just don't take penalties.
I just want to point out that that is an exact opposite of what the Wild's game has been the last couple of years. As far as there was some undisciplined play at the end there with Zuccarello, et cetera, but like, a lot of that can be called into question. I know
Foligno
said something in the post game about it, too. Yeah. He wasn't too happy
when
about
you're
it.
Winning, it's easier to not take penalties, right? Because you're just kind of staying out of the fray. So that probably has a lot to do with it, that they're able to just beat, which says about that they're a disciplined team. But penalties don't often come if you're playing well.
Pete, do you like bowling?
Oh, here we go. I feel like Pete's a great
that's
bowler.
The best part about Josh is you just don't know where he's going. You just
I love
don't.
This already.
Yeah, I just got a text. The Nielsen ratings are through the roof right now.
Wait a minute.
For a radio show?
Yes.
Nielsen. Yes. I don't think, are we Nielsen's for radio?
I don't
radio?
Know. I don't know how it works. Nielsen's I just know I'm due for a Marconi.
Well, although it would be great Nielsen ratings because nobody has to look at us. So and that's probably why it's so good.
Yeah, and I'm at the top of that list. Anyways, Pete, do you like bowling? That's the important
thing. I do like bowling, actually. I never do it for the most part.
Well, Deion Sanders has taken his team bowling this year, it sounds like.
Oh, that's kind of bowling.
The Colorado Buffalo have clinched a...
That's epic, man.
The Buffs have clinched a bowl berth with their win over Cincinnati last night, 34-23. Shadur Sanders, with his version of the flu game as well. Apparently, he had the flu at one point throughout the week. Did practice once before preparing for the Bearcats. Pete, are the Deion-led Colorado Buffs finally entering their prime?
Oh, that's rich is what that is.
Yes.
You know what? They're playing better than I expected. I saw them early in the year, and I looked at the team, and I thought, you know what? Nebraska game was the one that I watched the closest.
Yeah.
They just didn't look all that great then, but they seem to be improving. They seem to be doing the right things. They've got those players. Obviously, they've had some health injuries as well that have been a bit of a factor, but they've cut right through it. They're 6-2. I mean, that's pretty impressive, really. I'm impressed with what the Buffaloes have been able to do so far this year.
I'm not.
Really?
I mean,
they're 6-2, Dave.
Yeah, with wins over North Dakota State.
Well, that's early.
Colorado State.
Yeah.
Overtime win over Baylor.
Yeah.
Central Florida. Arizona. Cincinnati. Like, come on.
They can only play who's in front of them, though.
I know, but I'm still not impressed with those victories. They barely beat North Dakota State.
Yeah, that's true.
Back at the beginning of the season.
That's true.
Also, has Pete ever broken a bowling pin?
No.
No? I bet if you really got behind one, I mean, just,
I just want to point out the stock market star said something I said was rich. So I just want to point out the irony of that. That is all for the fast breaks for now.
That's too bad. That was fun.
That was fun.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and we'll have Andy Greeter on coming up next. Talk a little more Gopher football. You listen to The Huddle on 830-WCCO. Big win for the Gopher football team yesterday over Maryland. Andy Greeter joins us now from the St. Paul Pioneer Press on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Andy, good morning. Late in the game yesterday, Jaw Joyner went down a bit, and I recall thinking to myself, I wish that they were no longer playing the starters.
Yeah.
Do you have any updates? Where is he at? I didn't get a chance to see if he came back in the game after that.
Yeah, I don't understand what PJ Fleck was doing at that point. I mean, the game was very well in hand. I think it was 30-plus points at the time, and there were starters on both sides of the ball for a number of minutes when it seemed like it was ample time to bring in the backups. PJ Fleck brought up some of the losses they had at the end of last year against Illinois and against Northwestern, where they gave up games late. But this one was just so lopsided, so late, that I felt like it was ample time to get people off before they got hurt. And then Jaw Joyner and Aiden Goosby went down on that last drive. It sounds like they're both okay. You know, Jaw kind of limped off the field but didn't go into the medical tent. Aiden Goosby looked like he was kind of addressed for cramps. But, you know, it sounds like they're both okay. It was just kind of peculiar to see that be the situation. Obviously, they want to close out games, and PJ Fleck talked about needing to play 60 minutes, and something that they hadn't done very much this year, if at all. So he was trying to, you know, drive a point home to his team. Yeah, I mean, that was the risk, is getting key players hurt. But it looked like they might have dodged a bullet last night.
Hey, Andy, as far as looking forward now, that game I thought was one of the best games I've seen the Gophers play at home in a while, for sure, especially this year. And they really did put it together. We both talked about Max Brosmer and how great he looked, so we don't need to keep going on to that. But I'm just kind of curious, what do you look for? What are you expecting in the next four games? And is Illinois a team that the coach is finally going to lose to the Golden Gophers after being 10-0? You've got Rutgers in front of us, Penn State and Wisconsin. What do you think about the next four games, what the Gophers could or will do as far as the wins and losses?
Yeah, you know, Pete, I think that's really difficult to gauge just because of the variance that this team has shown through the first eight games. I think if you want to just look at what they were able to do against Maryland, you could say, okay, they're really putting it together for all four quarters and all three phases of the game, and could really lend itself to, you know, being able to go on the road and give Brett Bielema his first loss against the Gophers. I think he's something, I haven't run the numbers yet, but like 9 or 10, it's something ridiculous that he has at Illinois and at Wisconsin against Minnesota. So I think it's, you know, impressive to see the fact that, you know, they're putting things together, and it could be encouraging to see, but, you know, just look at the greater body of work, the variance they've shown, and say, you know, it's probably going to be more like, you know, 2-2 as opposed to 3-1 or 4-0.
Andy Greeter joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Really quick, Andy, these last, I think it was four games, it's a really tough schedule. How do you see the Gophers making their way through it in terms of a record?
Yeah, you know, I think, like I said, I think it's, you know, more likely a 2-2. I think Illinois, who got, you know, thumped pretty good by Oregon, has shown itself to be one of the better teams in the Big Ten, so I think that'll be a challenge. I think they opened as, I think, a 2-point underdog on, you know, kind of the betting lines here this morning. You know, Rutgers, I think, is really scuffling. Ethan Kelly McManus has been struggling lately, so I think that's probably the most likely win. You know, Penn State and Wisconsin was very interesting last night. Drew Allar, the Penn State quarterback, left the game, and it looked like, you know, Wisconsin might be able to you know, beat the Nittany Lions at home, but, you know, Braden Locke threw an interception, a pick six, and Penn State was able to close that game out. You know, I don't think Penn State is a world beater, even if they're a top five team. I know that might sound weird. So to be able to get them at home and maybe recreate something like happened in 2019, and then obviously a rivalry game on Black Friday against Wisconsin. And I think it's, you know, most likely a 2-2 type of situation as opposed to 3-1 or 4-0, just because of what this team has shown itself to be through eight games. But I think you can be encouraged by what they put together yesterday, that to say that, you know, 2-2 and getting to seven wins and locking up bowl eligibility and getting an extra one might be, you know, I think the most likely situation. I know it's not a sexy pick, but it seems like that's probably where they're going to be.
Andy, quick, I know we only got 20 seconds left. I had a quickie about this. Penn State, I don't think they're the Penn State of old. So is that a game that we can steal from them, do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a chance for that, for sure. I don't think, like I said, I don't think they're a world beater. I think they had a tough game against Illinois. So I think, you know, that's an opportunity to maybe steal one there, especially if Drew Allar's hurt.
Andy Greeter, St. Paul Pioneer Press, thanks so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you guys.
Thanks, Andy.
Should be a really fun couple of games here, Pete,
over
this last stretch. We have talked a lot about Gophers in the first hour. We'll dive into the Vikings.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next, Matt Collar joins us as well. We'll be right back.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.